All right, well, I've got 6 o'clock, so I would like to call to order the January 26, 2021 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Ms. Ancona, can I please get a roll call?
There we go. Commissioner Burtma?
Here.
Commissioner Henderson?
Here.
Vice Chair Harrington? Commissioner Hong?
Here.
Commissioner Posey?
Here.
Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
And Chair Gamble?
Here.
We'll let the record show we have a quorum.
All right, thank you. Okay, if you guys would like to follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance, I will do that now. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. And I think that's kind of tricky with the cameras or the everybody's mute and not mute. So at this time I'd like to do the call to the audience. Well, actually, I'm actually just going to give everybody a quick rundown. Before that, on our new Zoom, we're on the Zoom webinar platform, which is a little bit different than the Zoom app that we've been using. And so I just wanted to quickly go over things. Things are mostly the same, but you will find usually at the bottom of your screen, if you'd like to participate, there is a little, it's a little hand and it says raise hand. So at the appropriate times, I will ask for public or commission input. And if you have a comment or something you'd like to say, please raise your hand at that time. And that will notify me that a hand has been raised, and I will have Mr. Spaeth unmute your microphone and give you your time during the call to the audience. If you would like to participate, please state your name and whether or not you're a member of, or if you live in Oro Valley or not. And we do have a 3-minute time limit on those, so please keep that in mind. All right, so with that, I will do the call to the audience. And during this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commissioners may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by the speakers. However, the commission may not discuss matters raised during call to the agenda. So if you wish to address the commission on a matter that is not on the agenda, please notify me now by clicking the raised hand icon. If you are on a phone calling in, the way to do that is to press *9. So I will pause for a few minutes or a few seconds to see if there's anybody that has raised their hand. I am not seeing anybody, so I will close the call to the audience, and we will start our study session. Ms. Ancona, will you please read out our first agenda item?
Welcome, new Commissioner Bob Henderson.
All right, and I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Spaeth.
Yes, thank you, Chair Gamble. Welcome, everyone. As Ms. Ancona alluded to, we do have a new commissioner this evening, Mr. Bob Henderson. So if you would please indulge us, if Chair Gamble, you want to kind of start us off and just go around the virtual room, if you will, and kind of give us a little bit, well, give Bob rather, not us, a little bit of an introduction about yourself and who you are and how long you've been with the commission, whatever else you see fit. And then we'll ask Bob to go ahead and finish up and tell you all a little bit about himself. So welcome, Bob, and Chair Gamble, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Spaeth. Well, I'm Chair Celeste Gamble. I've been in Oro Valley for, oh my goodness, the past almost 13 years now. this is the start of my third year on the commission, and I've loved being able to serve Oro Valley in this capacity and learn all about the town. It's been a really fun adventure, I think. my husband and I have two boys, Owen and Oliver, and they are doing online school now, so that takes up a lot of my day. Being the real sergeant, and I enjoy being able to see all your faces and have some adult conversation and get a little break from them. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. So, who do we have next? Mr. Spieth, will you unmute? I'll just go down my list. Commissioner Sturman.
Well, thank you. Bob, it's enjoyable to meet you. I know I'm going into my second year. Prior to that, in 2004, 2006, I was on the Development Review Board when it existed. I moved from Oro Valley. I went down into the county area. And I lived there for 11 years, and then we reached a point that we wanted to come back to a single-level home. So we moved back to what they call Center Point Vistoso, which is a community right on what they on the back nine of the Vistoso golf course that used to exist. I still remain interested with the Oro Valley community, so I applied, you know, to come on the Planning and Zoning Commission. Which I understand the Development Review Board actually consolidated within the Planning and Zoning Commission. And I've been here now 20 years total. Originally, you know, I retired from Chicago. And I've really enjoyed the community. And my wife and I, we travel a little bit, you know, but we always love our home here in Tucson.
Great. Thanks, Commissioner Sturman. Commissioner Hong? So you're all listed alphabetically by your first names on my list.
Hey, I'm Ellen. Nice to meet you, Bob. This is my third year here with OV, Planning and Zoning Commission. I am a full-time employed at a local company. And this is something I do, hopefully on a monthly basis, to get involved in the community I live in. I also live in Center Point Vistoso, by the way. So it's been fun. For me, it's been more of a learning process. What else is there? Oh, yes, I studied planning for my graduate studies. So far, you know, I haven't been able to contribute much, but I'm practicing what I've learned, so I'm very happy. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Hong, let's move on to Commissioner Bergsma.
Hey, Bob, good to meet you, if only virtually. So I'm Hal Bergsma. I moved here to Oro Valley a little over 2.5 years ago with my wife, Paula. We moved from Portland, Oregon area, where we lived for almost 40 years. I'm a retired urban planner. That's what I spent most of my career doing, about 35 years. So when I got here, I thought, well, I'll try to apply my experience to help folks here in Oro Valley do planning. And so far I've managed to survive through one term and into my second term. So into my third year now. I'm also active with AARP Arizona. I am a volunteer for their Livable Communities program, among other things. And I'm also the president of the HOA board for our neighborhood, which is located just west of the intersection of El Conquistador and Oracle Road. So try to keep busy, probably too busy these days, but interesting stuff. And I'm enjoying my time on the Planning and Zoning Commission.
All right. Thanks, Commissioner Bergsma. Commissioner Posey?
Yes. Hi, Bob. It's nice to meet you. My name is Skeet Posey, and I've served on the commission. I'm going into my third year now, and I have really enjoyed it. And I want you to know it's a great bunch here with everybody, and also the staff. The staff is the best. And anything that you need, I promise you, they're good. They'll help you. I moved here 8 years ago from West Texas, and we're here to stay. Our family's back, but we're not going back. We love it so much here in Aurora Valley. It's the nicest people you could meet, of course. And I have 4 children and a lot of grandchildren that I'm proud of. And let's see, I serve on HOA Catalina Ridge Estates. I'm on the architectural committee, and I've enjoyed that. But I just want to know that we are looking forward to working with you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Posey. Ms. Ancona, can you please let the record reflect that Vice Chair Harrington joined us at 6:10? And just to catch you up, we're just introducing ourselves to our new commissioner, Bob Henderson. Vice Chair Harrington, if you'd like to say hello and a little bit about yourself, and then I'll have Bob introduce himself to everyone.
Sure. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the commission there. We definitely welcome you, and we're looking forward to seeing your helpful hints and advice. And I'm sure you have a lot to contribute to the commission, and we're looking forward to your wisdom and your advice on many different issues. I'm sure you are a Oro Valley resident, and I'm sure you're looking to make it better, a better community for us all. Sorry for my delay, had a little computer issue there, but I've lived in Oro Valley here probably about 13 years, and I just try to look out and help wherever I can. And I'm on an HOA as well. I'm a vice chair on a HOA here, Copper Creek, not too far from Oro Valley. And I'm a developer by trade, and been in real estate and many other boards, church boards and other different boards. And I'm looking forward to meeting you in person. I did see you one time over at Westward Look there in transition. Well, Mr. Spaeth was finishing up with you there, and we're looking forward to it, and can't wait to see you in person.
All right. Thank you, Vice Chair Harrington. Commissioner Henderson, we get his microphone unmuted, and then I'll have you tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, are we good to go?
Yep.
Okay, so am I. Thank you all for welcoming me to the commission. I'm looking forward to working with you, and I'm on the very steep edge, I think, of the learning curve. Mr. Mike there got me all turned around the very first time I met him, but hopefully that will get better as time goes on. I've lived in Oro Valley about 7 years now. More specifically, I live in Sun City. I've been on numerous boards at, not really boards, committees at Sun City, and enjoyed participating in those. And I want to take a step up and be on the commission for the town. My interest is primarily helping the residents of Oro Valley achieve what they want. And my first, I guess, personal goal is to find out more about what they do want. And I know we've got a lot of good documents already prepared, general plan, et cetera, and that will help me a lot. But anything you all can contribute to helping me step on the curve a little bit, I appreciate it very much. Looking forward to meeting you and working with you for however long you choose to keep me. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Henderson. Was there anything else you wanted us to meet with or talk on this agenda item, Mr. Spaeth?
Chair Gamble, I think that sums it up pretty well. Thank you. Welcome, Bob. Right.
Oh, yes,
Commissioner
welcome.
Henderson, sorry.
I know. It's super hard when everybody's first name is listed to remember Commissioner and their last name. But yes, welcome. We are so excited to have you. And we look forward to working with you. And yeah, I think the best way to figure it all out is to jump right in. I know we've Ms. Ancona had just sent out an email for your first neighborhood meeting. So that's a great way to start and hear what the community has to say. So with that, we'll move on to our agenda item number 2. Ms. Ancona, will you please read that out for us?
Sure. Discussion on Oro Valley growth trends and patterns.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Spaeth.
Yes, Chair Gamble, members of the commission, thank you. And I'm actually going to introduce Planning Manager Bayer Vella is going to give us a comprehensive overview of the current state of growth trends and patterns in Oro Valley. Mr. Vella.
Thank you, Mr. Spaeth. All right. Thank you, Chair Gamble and members of the commission. I really want to underscore one particular word and the agenda heading for this item, and that's the word discussion. So I really want to, if I may, proceed in a very open way. And, you know, as I go through this, if you have questions, please, raise your hand. Glad to stop and engage. I know Zoom can be a bit clunky for that in terms of the technical aspects, but I really, again, want this to be a discussion rather than a lecture, if you will. So, really the purpose of this agenda item was to, we thought we'd check in and just, kind of as staff provide a snapshot of what we're seeing. In terms of trends, as we work with developers, residents, commercial brokers, land brokers, realtors, some of the trends and things that we see happening now and where we expect to go. So I really want to break this presentation into three parts. I really want to talk a little bit about, because it's such a major impact in terms of growth, is who we are. And then secondly, I want to focus on really how does who we are impact growth? And then really take a deeper dive into some expectations for the future. So I kind of pull out the proverbial crystal ball, if you will. So if I may, next slide, please. So the starting point, a very obvious starting point in answering the question, who are we? Meaning, who are we as a town, as a community, is the census. And we're super excited that the 2020 census is going to be released not too far into the future. We expect that December, April timeframe. And we're hungry to take a look at those numbers. But fortunately, along the way, the U.S. Census, between the 10-year increments of publishing a full-blown accounting of the community, if you will, the census does provide updated projections in 1 and 5 year increments. So, and they very much through a local COG of government, Pima Association of Governments, they track our building permits and the flow influx of folks to update projections. So we do have projections up to just 1999. So I want to talk a little bit about those, and those numbers are hugely important to the town in many ways. Those numbers directly impact the state shared revenue that we receive based on taxes. It's a statewide formula, and it's monies that are allocated not only for services, but roads very much have to do with our population counts. Obviously, who we are in terms of demographics and our makeup impacts our town services and what types of services, and we do our best to try to stay true as those changes to adapt our services. Then obviously it impacts growth, and that's certainly our focus as a planning and zoning commission. The Your Voice, Our Future General Plan we do try to take all of these changes relative to demographics and numbers when we're formulating a general plan, and we're really not that far off to renewing a new effort. The last one was approved in, I believe, 2016, and it's right around the corner in terms of needing to start up again, and we'll definitely be focusing on who we are as we start that effort up. Next slide, please. So here's a quick historical layout of population in Oro Valley. And starting back in 1980 and bringing us almost current, not quite, to 2019. And so there have been some incredible jumps along the way. And I'm going to focus for a minute with between the censuses of 1990 and the year 2000. That represents a colossal increase in population. That's a 350% jump in population. Around that time period, Moran and Oro Valley were both seen as two of the fastest growing communities in the nation per capita, per size. So exponentially enormous amount of growth back in the day between 1990 and 2000. We still had a really large jump in growth, as you can see, from 2000 to 2010. That's a jump of about 38%. Very significant change. And the community is clearly evolving and adapting. And since 2010, the changes have been more incremental. So I expect, when we do see the census, we're going to be probably in the 48 to 50 range. So we're tapering off. And that has a lot to do with land supply. And I'm going to talk about that in a bit later in the presentation. Another fun fact is I always like to think about where are these folks coming from? That's always a good question, and it's always good something from a planning perspective to understand. So, the pie chart on the right gives you a little bit of a breakdown of where folks are coming from. And this is a one-year snapshot in 2019. So for me, the surprise was that a large proportion of folks are moving to Oro Valley from Pima County. So it's easy to assume that the majority is coming from outside the state, but it's actually most of the movement, not by a whole lot, most of the movement is coming from Pima County. And what that says to me is that a lot of folks are moving to that second home. They're going from that startup home to maybe something, a higher price point, and which is certainly to be found and quality that Oro Valley provides. Next slide, please. So here's another quick snapshot to try to help define who we are. I don't think anyone's very surprised to see that our median household income is higher. And certainly our housing prices reflect that. Those both dovetail together, as you would expect. We're a very well-educated community, and the poverty rate is quite low. And so those stats, to me, are, again, fit hand in glove with the growth that we're seeing, the types of businesses that are opening in Oro Valley, and the price points that we see in new homes and resale of homes. Those all fit. So we're obviously very unique in Pima County, and you can see how those numbers are quite different. Next slide, please. Again, in the category of who we are,
our median age is 54, which, you know, happens to be about the highest age bracket that's identified with workforce.
So these labels, students, workforce, and retirees, we leaned on the census for those terms and also for the brackets, you know, the age brackets that we fit for students and we fit for workforce as well as retirees. So, you know, it's easy to assume, and many folks do, that, you know, Oro Valley is predominantly a retirement community. There's a very high percentage of retirees, no question. But also when you think about it, when you combine students and the workforce numbers, that's a large percentage. That is a very large percentage. So these are key elements to think of, again, as in terms of the housing types we're providing, or actually private developers are providing, as well as the services the town provides. Next slide, please. So now I want to try to help make a little bit of the link of those in terms of who we are and how does that translate into growth. You know, I mentioned a very high percentage of folks in the workforce category. They're primarily single family homeowners, primarily. And some of the percentages you see up here under the predominant housing types, which are low to medium density. You know, the bulk of the community, 73%, is living in single family homes. And you can see the other numbers from there, you know, 15% in apartments and whatnot. So, you know, what's interesting to me is that, and it leads over to the pie chart to the right, is that there's a significant percentage of renters in Oro Valley, you know, roughly 25%. And that pie chart isn't just apartments. That's people renting single family homes, townhomes. That's all of the categories. So there's a fairly significant number of folks that are choosing to rent versus own. Predominantly, it's absolutely home ownership is dominant. But what we're seeing locally, regionally, as well as nationally, is the percentage of renters are growing relative to homeowners. And anecdotally, you know, we understand that younger generations who are putting off home ownership are driving that, as well as retirees who don't want that, who may not want that responsibility of taking care of that yard and that sort of thing. So, as well as economic market factors. So the number and percentage of renters, again, is pretty substantial and it's growing. So it'll be interesting to see how that changes in the future. So, you know, I want to, you know, now go into a little bit as far as what we see in terms of the future and expected population growth. We are expecting to continue along a path of roughly 200 to 400 units per year. That's roughly how many permits we issue each year. We on average issue 30 per month, and recently we've seen some pretty substantial increases. Next slide, please. So the amount of growth in those number of permits certainly impacts other types of land use, especially commercial. And many of you you know, those of you that were at the last public hearing relative to a recent rezoning probably remember the slide. This was a slide that, or a topic that I think is going to be a trend and something that we're going to continue seeing. Oro Valley, although it's hard to measure in terms of exactly how much, has quite a few commercial areas that have a fairly significant number of vacancies and acreage associated with the shopping centers. And in our estimation, are disproportionate relative to the surrounding population. So we are seeing an uptick in property owners who have commercial property in areas with large commercial areas wanting to convert to something else, whether it's homes, apartments, or senior care type uses. And, you know, just as a quick illustration, because many of you have heard some of these facts and figures at a recent public hearing, is what this chart does is it gives a quick example of comparing the intersection of First Avenue and Rancho Viscoso Boulevard, which is some 77 acres of commercial area, with a lower number of businesses and a lower population number. And the contrast is pretty stark when you compare to, you know, what's seen as a more successful shopping center in the fact that it has fewer vacancies at Lambert and La Cañada, which is some 31 acres, significantly smaller, more than half the size. Yet it still has more businesses, and it's no accident. It's no accident whatsoever that it has more population around it and more households. So the key factors, these are all key factors on the screen that a commercial broker, shopping center owner, business owner will look at. The essential ingredients are the population, the number of households, and also traffic. So those are all key elements. So if the population numbers are low, but the traffic numbers are really high, those can counterbalance each other. In this example, the traffic peak numbers are very similar. And I'd like to add that the actual number of vehicles in traffic is actually higher at Lambert and La Cañada. But you can see how there's a disparity in the population areas. Population numbers, rather. So this is an issue that I think will be reoccurring in areas where, you know, we have vacant properties, commercial properties. Next slide, please. And to further punctuate that point, because I'm sure everyone is aware that Oro Valley Marketplace, which is on its way to renaming itself to the Village Center, has applied for new uses to reimagine itself due to the number of vacant commercial properties within the shopping center. It's roughly a 110-acre center, and the amount of developed area is quite low. And, you know, this slide is a bit dated. The previous owner was Vestar. The new owner is the Horvath Properties. But, you know, we wanted to reuse this slide to make the point. So back in the day when Vestar owned the site, really wanted to show you some of the comparables that they were dealing with. So Vestar has quite a few properties, shopping centers of similar size in the Phoenix area. And you can see all of the different areas. They have shopping centers to the left in blue. So what they're used to in terms of population is quite different. So you can see the average in square feet in terms of the shopping center is less less than what's found in Ore Valley Marketplace, what was planned in Ore Valley Marketplace. Yet the population numbers are very much skewed in the same way as the, and even more dramatically than the previous example. So those lower population numbers matter to a retailer. They matter to a commercial shopping center in terms of being successful and not having vacancies. Next slide, please. The other thing that we're thinking a lot about in terms of growth trends and relative to population as our community matures is employment. Many of you have heard us present code changes and would like to try to bolster and encourage more employment uses. And a lot of that's born, we think, is out of population need. What this chart illustrates is that there are still a fair number of folks commuting into Ore Valley for work. There are, however, an even greater number, over 13,000, close to 14,000 folks in Ore Valley that are commuting out of town to work. They're driving to the other side of town, to Raytheon, to the U of A Innovation Park areas. So there's quite a bit of exodus every morning, 8 a.m., and every afternoon, 5 p.m., pre-COVID, of course. So, you know, the town has been taking very active steps to provide employment and fill our innovation and corporate centers, which is also a strong suggestion in our Ore Valley General Plan, Your Voice, Our Future. Next slide, please. So let's talk a little bit more about the growth that fuels commercial and employment and the need for town services. And I want to talk a little bit about our history again and where I think we're going. Again, we're about to pull out the crystal ball. So, and you know, I'd already mentioned that time period, 1990 to 2000, where there was 350% jump in population. So we've labeled this chart, that's what we would consider a boom period. These are permits issued by fiscal year. So you can see the numbers reach a high of close to, over 1,100 in a year. For Ore Valley, that is a phenomenal amount of building permits. So I think everyone knows, after that peak, there was a decline leading to what everyone knows is the 2008 recession. So you can see how much things tapered off dramatically through the recession. And then right around 2013, we started coming out of it. And you can see that permits quadrupled. And we've been hovering at a fairly steady rate. But some interesting things are happening as we go through COVID. So you can see a little bit of seesaw of the permits, but then 18, 19, very strong. And we've been ticking along in around the 250 range from 2019 on. When COVID hit, we saw quite a few developers, residential developers that is, split on how to react. Some of the major national builders shut everything down for a few months. They just stopped. And looked around and wanted to be in wait and see mode. Others kept going full tilt. And where we are today is, I was told this morning that the month of December, we had the highest number of permits for a particular month since 2006. So the activity is strong. The supply, which I'm going to talk about in a moment, is dipping, but the demand is very strong, even in these COVID times. Next slide, please. So let's talk about supply. This map, this is a disclaimer. This is an old map. It's 1999, and we are working now to update this map, and we're about 90% through in terms of a draft. So this map was done in 1999. Definitely not current. I can see a few properties that are no longer considered vacant, including a lot of the area around First and Tangerine that I already spoke of. But what this represents, and I really wanted to show the pattern here. The pattern here is that there are very few large areas or tracts of land remaining in Oro Valley for development. Very few. This in 99 represented, we calculated 85% build out. We are 85% built out. I suspect by the time we're done updating the new map, the latest map, that we're going to be announcing a number more close to 90% built out, as properties have been absorbed. And again, the rate of permits are shooting upward. So, you know, as you can see, there are fewer really large tracts of land. The days of Rancho Vistoso-sized developments are past Oro Valley. Next slide, I want to dive into really a focal area of growth when it comes to residential subdivisions. Next slide, please. The La Cholla Corridor. So, you know, what we're seeing is, it's a little hard to make out, but Lambert Lane at the bottom of the map. And Lambert Lane connecting to La Cholla, La Cholla going north all the way to Tangerine. That corridor is poised to see dramatic change, and now. We are just starting to see plats roll in, subdivision plats and final plats. This area was rezoned 4 to 5 years ago, and we're starting to see folks come forward with plats. It includes several new commercial areas in red that are planned. And this is all coming together as, of course, as La Cholla's opened as a new four-lane road. So we expect to see a lot of change very, very shortly in this area. Other trends that we're seeing, you know, and I already mentioned the commercial needs and really the challenges that retail is having relative to population numbers, but there are obviously other challenges that you are all familiar with, the Amazon effect and more folks, especially now during COVID, buying online. And, you know, partial response to that, what we're seeing is not only requests to convert commercial areas to residential, we're also seeing requests to take older retail buildings and change them into office space. So great example is right down the street from Town Hall, Lambert and La Cañada, the former Big Five building, will be an oncology medical suite. We're watching up along where the Gaslight Theater is at Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Oracle, where the Bashes used to be. There's still a very significant size of space within the former Bashes building that property owner is working hard to bring in an employer in there rather than a retailer. So retail has always had a very hard road to travel in that particular location and area. We are also seeing in terms of the office market in the Tucson region, first ever particularly in the foothills area, spec office being built. The office market, even in these COVID times, surprisingly, is strong. And it's not so much the small doctor's offices, it's not the smaller businesses, it's the larger medical-oriented uses. Tucson Medical Center is expanding out into the suburbs. We're seeing folks that office in large, tall buildings with elevators wanting to get out of downtown as a COVID effect and move out to the suburbs for businesses that still need to have folks come into the office. So any other trend that we're seeing, and you're certainly going to see it when Oro Valley Marketplace comes forward with their proposal to reimagine itself, is mixed use, bringing residential into the middle of a shopping center. We're also seeing plans that have been approved by the county for Foothills Mall for the same idea. The Williams Center is undergoing a very significant renovation with a very strong emphasis on mixed use. So we anticipate that you'll see Oro Valley Village Center, again, the marketplace, perhaps in the next 5 to 6 months for a similar concept. Next slide, please. So in terms of future growth, what we're going to be working with as staff, as the commission, is mostly infill. Again, the large tracts out on the edges of town for growth just aren't there unless there's annexation. So what the trend you're going to see is, and you already have seen, is a lot of developers, some of you have heard me say this before, a lot of developers are now looking at lands, infill properties that no one ever wanted to build on because there were so many challenges relative to expensive challenges relative to drainage or terrain. Really all the properties that were passed over back in the day, those are now being planned. Infill development is always takes a tremendous amount of care, especially as it should be, working with neighbors who, you know, have been there for years looking at this one vacant property that they surround. So public participation is at a premium in working with infill properties. And as I mentioned earlier, in terms of future growth, the town has really taken very active steps to focus more on employment. And as you're aware, we're also moving very actively relative to annexations. Most of you are aware, town council approved an formal annexation plan, which is really the first plan that I can recall where it really has very specifically set out what our priorities are in terms of annexation. What are the areas? And we're obviously working on a tier one priority area right now, which is Westward Look. As well as beyond Westward Look, looking at that Ina and Oracle Road intersection. And then someday we may be looking at, again, at state land out toward Thornydale and Tangerine, and state land to the north. Beyond Sun City, there's a tract of land that's roughly the same size as Rancho Vistoso. That's all state land. But there are no active talks as of now with state land on either of those areas. So, and what's interesting about annexations to me, and everyone may not be aware, is that this map to the right is to me pretty eye-opening, that Oro Valley is very much a sum of its parts. And what I mean by parts, I mean annexations. So all these different colors represent different annexations at different times. So the biggest one, the blue one, of course, is Rancho Vistoso, which was annexed back in 1987. Most of the zoning for Angelostosa was approved by Pima County before it was annexed. So, again, we are very much a sum of all of our annexations, and that's likely to be the future of Oro Valley as well. Next slide, please. So, key takeaways that, you know, really we want to keep our pulse on demographics and the changes and be adaptable. And certainly when we get more information with the 2020 census, which will absolutely represent a deeper dive than what we've been getting in terms of 5-year incremental projections, we'll be back to the commission and you know, try to help provide a snapshot of what we're seeing. We are very much limited in land supply relative to the past. Again, you know, I expect our build-out number to go from 85% toward 90. And, you know, that has presents its own challenges as properties become more expensive, prices go up, and it really impacts growth in ways that not everyone might expect. Many folks hear limited land supply and assume growth stops. In my experience, growth doesn't stop, it changes shapes. So what we then start seeing is more redevelopment versus outright development. So growth doesn't stop, it just changes shape. And our aim is to be ahead of that curve. So we will, you know, our focus will be focusing on infill and annexations onto the future. So I'd like to stop there, if I may, Chair Gamble, and you know, ask if Ms. Sims' camera could be put on as well, and would really like to open this up for discussion.
Great. Thanks so much, Mr. Bell. I appreciate that. That was very insightful. So if any of the commissioners have questions, if you guys can use the raise hand function, and then we can get your microphones unmuted.
So, Chair Gamble.
Yeah.
I'm trying to raise my hand, but it's not working. So I'm just going to speak up.
Okay.
isn't happening, but so I'll start talking. So thank you, Mr. Vella, for that presentation. It's very helpful. You did say something about the vacant land supply map that you were showing. You were saying 1999. Did you mean to say 2019?
I'm trying to remember the date of that. I believe it was 99.
So I was 20 years old.
Ms. Sims, can you help me out here?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Bergsma, I do believe it was closer to 2019.
Okay. Backwards.
It's old.
It's still old. Though,
okay, thank you. I do have several questions and comments, so I'm not going to try to do them all right now so other people have a chance to talk. But one thing that I have, and I've done this kind of stuff in the past, is household size is a big determinant on population estimates. And do we have any notion as to how the household size in Oro Valley compares to the household size in other parts of the region?
We, if I may, Member Bergsma, Chair Gamble, I don't have that at the tip of my fingers, but that's certainly something we can research.
Okay. I know, obviously, it's pretty easy to track how many dwelling units you have by looking at building permits, but if you're assuming a smaller household size, then is actually present, then you could be way off on your estimates. And so that's something I experienced working for a previous jurisdiction. And of course, we'll know whether PAG was right in their estimates or not fairly soon as the
right.
2020 numbers come out, but it'll be interesting to see that. I guess the last question I have, and I'll have some comments later, but the last question I have is, you have mentioned, I believe, that the work program for the department does include a housing study, which I believe has been delayed. But can you tell us what the status of that is in terms of when that might be started?
Sure. I'm glad to, Member Bergsma. As you recall, we brought before you an apartment study, and we mentioned that was but a chapter of an overall housing study. We'll be making a budget request for consultant assistance for the July fiscal year for assistance to complete that. So we've done some of the basic footwork in terms of data collection, but our hope is to be able to turn it over to a consultant to put the actual together. So I would expect that would be, assuming budget's approved, of course, that we would be getting started next fall in terms of hiring consultant and turning them loose. So.
Thank you. I think that'll be very interesting to see where we're at and where we might want to go in terms of addressing housing needs in the town. Thank you.
Agreed. I'm very excited to do it. So.
Oh, great. I also punched my raised hand, but I don't know if I'm recognized. So
I'm not sorry. Seeing the raised hands. So.
Pardon? Okay.
Speak away.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman Gamble. Byer, my real interest is, as you well know, that there's tremendous amount of building on Rancho Vistosa Boulevard, primarily targeted around Moore Road. And you said that you're going to have this census data fairly soon. I feel, or I sense, that we are just going to have a lopsided situation where north of Tangerine, I mean, we're excelling in tremendous growth. And along with that is, you know, I'm concerned about, you know, the care and attention that we have on these infields, where are we going to lose, you know, the conservation, the, you know, the environmental aspects of why Oro Valley has been so drawn by residents. So I wanted to express that, and I wanted to get some feedback on that. Thank you.
Sure. If I may, Chair Gamble, Member Sturman. So Rancho Vistoso, you know, what we're experiencing now, you're absolutely correct, is a tremendous amount of growth around, you know, the Moore Road, Rancho Vistoso Boulevard area. I kind of think of that as, if you will, the last hurrah of larger subdivision development in Rancho Vistoso Boulevard. That's the last one. After that, the areas remaining for growth in Rancho Vistoso Boulevard in particular are a plat that's been approved on the other side of the wash for roughly 200 units, not far from Sun City. Beyond that, what is remaining are quite a few large lots, a couple of hundred large lots remaining in Stone Canyon on plats that have already been approved back in the day. Just the areas and the lots haven't been absorbed. And I can think of some small commercial areas. And I mean small 3 to 4 acre commercial areas and one more residential site of roughly 8 acres. So Rancho Vistoso is very close to build out. So once that Moore Road area at the other side of Big Washerdun, that's it on large subdivisions. You're not going to see a new subdivision in Rancho de Soso after those are two built of more than 50 units. You're not. It's the land is about fully spoken for. There is, in terms of your concern about open space conservation, I think one of the successes of Rancho Vistoso is from the get-go, 1987, more than half, I forgot the exact percentage, but it's well over more than half of the area was zoned as open space. So it's fixed. And as you know, many of them are drainages or recreation areas. So, and with the 2020 census coming out, suspect, yeah, we're going to miss quite a few folks as those homes are being absorbed in Rancho Vistoso. But that will change as, census does 1 to 5 year projections after 2020. So we will at least get updates of numbers as we go from the census. So it'll catch up. It'll be slow, but it'll catch up. So I hope that helps answer your question.
Yes, it did. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Okay, so I actually just tested this raise your hand feature and it is actually not working at all. So if there are any other commissioners, we're just going to do this old school style. raise your real hand if you have a question that you would like answered. Vice Chair Harrington, and then we'll move on to Commissioner Posey.
Okay, I actually have a question. Have we, I see in part of your presentation, we're talking about employers coming to Oro Valley. Have we had any large employers reach out to Oro Valley within the last 12 months or so looking for land or property or specific zoning, specific zoning for a company or entities?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. So reaching out, as you know, versus pulling a permit or two very different things. So we've not seen any permits pulled for large employers, but we are in active negotiations, absolutely, with larger employers.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Posey. You're muted.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Gamble. Yes, I'm very interested in the annexation of the state land. I guess maybe I have high aspirations, to bring more, thinking businesses to bring more revenue in, maybe a Costco or something like that. I was wondering, what is the status on that, Bar?
So, Commissioner Posey, Chair Gamble, I'm going to share everything I know, and it'll take all of 2 seconds. And it's probably encapsulated in a shrug. Ever since, I'm trying to remember, roughly a year and a half, 2 years ago, where there was momentum relative to annexation discussion out in the Thornydale Tangerine area, that 800 acres on both sides of Tangerine. There was significant momentum and state line put a hold on it. They had a very sizable changeover in staff and priorities. And it's been entirely on hold. There's been no activity since. So we do not consider their application to be active. And I have not heard any indications about movement forward at all. So I'm sorry, I really don't have any new news, but we just don't know.
Okay, but thank you. I appreciate that. I was just wondering if there was any new news or anything on that. Thank you.
Sure.
Great. Thanks, Commissioner Posey. Do any of the other commissioners have a question? No. Okay. So I had one. Oh, Commissioner Bergsma. Oh, can we get your microphone unmuted?
Go ahead, Chair Gamble. Then I'll make my comment.
Okay. So my question actually had to do with, as a commission, we represent the community, and of course we have our voice, our plan future, but how do we like marry the business growth aspect with the filling in homes to support these businesses, so to speak? You know, and I think a great example is the one that just came before us at our last meeting on First and Tangerine. First and Tangerine, where we had approved two or higher density options, and then it went to town council, and I think they're still dealing with it. I think they've brought that back. So tell me if we can't talk about this one, but we were only presented with the options, you know, that this is, you know, it meets the town's code. And it will support extra businesses, but we weren't given the information in our packet that it was rezoned to be part of that. What did they call it? It's basically to be set aside for commercial, like primary employer setting, where that was designated as part of that allotment of land. And then, you know, I know town council denied that originally, and I think they're coming to see it back for it. But, you know, like, how do we prioritize that? How do we know, like, what the community really wants in a situation like that? Because they want both. Because we want to support our small businesses, of course. So, and we understand that, you know, like, a high density residential option would very much help support that, but also that need for primary employers. What is ranked higher?
So if I may, Chair Gamble, so the site is I'm sorry, you know, if it wasn't clear, but it was included in the packet that in 2015, when that was rezoned, is rezoned to commercial, which enabled traditional office and retail. That's what NCO C1 commercial provides. You know, there was a recent code amendment I'm not sure, about a year and a half ago, that added the ability within C1 to do tech park light type uses. So that's opened up the commercial to create more employment opportunities. So I think you articulated it, the challenge really well, you know, there are trade-offs. I hope I'm not oversimplifying it. There are trade-offs to every land use decision. You know,
that's my question.
Very, very much so. And your voice, our future, you know, my sense is the strongest theme is balance. It's trying to make sure that we're taking all of these factors in, all these wants. I want more cafes. I want more things to do in the evening. What does it take to do that? I want to maintain a suburban style community that's low density. I don't want it to be busy. I don't want traffic. I want a small town feel. Marrying up those objectives, there's no secret answer to that. It's hard. And on a case by case basis, we try to marry all those together. And those are difficult decisions. And those are, I think we're increasingly going to have to look at those difficult decisions, especially as land supply is shrinking. So every land choice is that much more important in a lot of ways. So once something's built, it's built for a good 30 years before someone starts to talk about redevelopment. So I'm sorry I'm not being much of a help, Chair Gamble, but we're going to have to, you know, I think each of these are very site-specific and the needs of a specific area. So, you know, I don't think broad statements about employment, commercial, and residential apply to every intersection. That was a very unique case in my mind, where you have 77 acres the size of a regional commercial shopping center in what an area that should be serving local needs, because that's what it draws. That's the types of businesses it has. So that intersection, in staff's opinion, is entirely overly zoned for commercial, period. 77 acres. That's the size of the Home Depot area at First and Oracle. It's yeah, very large.
That was just an example. I'm not hung up on that. It was just,
oh, sure. You know, like, it's a good example. It's a good example.
How do we, you know, how do we prioritize, you know, the wants and needs and find that balance, I guess was,
yeah,
you know, more what I was after.
Right.
But I think going forward, and I know this kind of ties into your next one, but it would be kind of interesting to maybe see if we can add this to the staff presentation when you have, like, and just on an individual case-by-case basis, where you have a property like that, where it was recently rezoned, you know, if we can re-bring that up to the public and be like, okay, we, you know, like, and kind of start the process, like the neighborhood meetings with that in mind, like, this was just rezoned that, you know, within the last several years, because it, we wanted it to fill this specific purpose. Now we're wanting to change this purpose. And so just being, I think maybe it would make it easier on us commissioners on a case-by-case basis if we did have that discussion and we had the public involved in that discussion, that would be an easier way for us to make those decisions. So not, and I don't know, you said it was included in the packet and I must have skimmed over that part somehow, but, you know, I think if that there is a bigger component to that discussion, then I think we would be better informed to make decisions that the community does want, when, because there's always the history, and I think that sometimes does play into the decision making.
Absolutely.
So absolutely. Something to think about. We can move on to that one, or we can talk about that in the next number three. But is that was my question. Thank you so much for answering that. And then Commissioner Bergsma, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. Just to comment on what you just discussed, that was a tough case. And obviously there are different ways of seeing it. I, you know, the council majority saw it differently than the planning commission did, and that's gonna happen sometimes. I think the only unfortunate thing about that case is that we had an applicant that spent a lot of time and effort going through the process and ended up failing. So I think it's always good if a community has clear idea about where it wants to go. I think in that case, it was demonstrated that we still don't have total consensus. And so hopefully we'll get there at some point. My comment here, it's not a question, but a comment, goes back to the slide in Mr. Vella's presentation showing the population breakout in the community. And of course, that'll probably change. Well, interesting to see how it does change with the new census numbers. But basically we have about a third, a little over a third of the population was classified as retirees given their age. But I think it's probably true that a lot of those people in that age range are not retired, or at least working part-time. So that you may want to change the label on that. Older adults may be more appropriate. That's by the way, why AARP is no longer the American Association of Retired Persons, because a third of the members are not retired. The comment I have, though, gets back to the town's economic development strategy. and I wasn't involved in that. But an irritant for me about the strategy is that it doesn't recognize the contribution to the town's economy by the older adults, whether they're retired or not. You know, there's nothing wrong with the strategy in trying to get more employers into the community, especially primary employers that pay relatively high wages. But, you know, when people retire and move to Oro Valley or even the snowbirds that spend, you know, part of the year here, you know, they bring a lot of economic resources to the community. You know, I'm a good example. You bring your pension, you bring your IRA, you bring your Social Security, and a good part of that is going to get spent here. People aren't working maybe, but they're still spending their savings. And so that's something I think that needs to be considered by the town going forward in terms of its economic analysis strategy. We need to factor that in. You know, when I hire somebody to make improvements to my home or whatever, you know, I'm hiring somebody that's local. Those people are being employed because of people like me. So I think that needs to be considered. I know we've got the mayor and vice mayor and Mr. Perry on the call, so I hope they give that some consideration. One other comment on regarding this, you were noting, Mr. Vella, the conversion of retail buildings to medical office buildings is happening a little bit in the town. Why is that happening? Probably because a lot of the retirees are needing medical services. And this is where the business is. So this is where they're coming. So just something to think about going forward in terms of how we approach economic development in the town of Oro Valley. Keep the retirees happy and the snowbirds, because they're part of your bread and butter. Thank you.
All right, Commissioner Posey.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I was curious as to, I've noticed in the past, is where the council approves a zoning change, or, you know, a check something, a planning, whatever, and the time lapse between the approval and the development of said property seems to be a lot. Is there any rules on that, or is it just open?
So if I may, Chair Gamble, Member Posey. So when a property is rezoned, typically it has conditions. So once those conditions are effectuated, the zoning becomes a right. It's set with the land. So let's say a property is zoned C1, they met their conditions. That zoning stays essentially, you know, the same. They have new rights. The property owner can apply to change those rights, but they also have legal protections to maintain those rights once it's rezoned. So, you know, one thing our code does, you know, to make sure that the designs, you know, how when you get a rezoning and there's a, we call it a tentative development plan. It's a site plan. And the way the buildings are laid out. The way our code works is that if they develop within 5 years after the rezoning, then that site plan doesn't need a new review by the commission and council. But after 5 years, it needs to come back to you guys for a look-see when they go to, they want to get a site plan approved to see if things have changed. That's the way our code's laid out. That doesn't mean they lost their zoning, but that site layout has to be reconsidered by commission and council after 5 years.
Okay, so the zoning can go indefinitely, except
yes.
Like, okay.
Yes.
And I have another question. I don't know if it's applicable to this, but the first in Tangerine area that we approved.
Sure.
Okay. I thought it was proper for us not to converse with an applicant. And so I was curious as to how there's a resubmission. And after, you know, is it okay for council to do that, to talk to an applicant? And not us, or would you explain that to me again?
Sure. So, if I may, Chair Gamble, and I'll, you know, if Joe Andrews were here, he would be appropriately asking us to start steering away from taking
okay.
too much of a dive
That's
on
fine.
First and Tangerine.
That's fine.
But I, okay. I would be glad to answer your question, Member Posey, right now about, and speaking generalities versus First and Tangerine. So, mm-hmm. You know, the parliamentary procedures approved by council for commissions and boards do discourage actively meeting with applicants and neighbors before a meeting. The ask is that you do that in the context of a public meeting, this meeting with a quorum of members. So town council operates as elected officials.
Right.
So we're all very aware town council is very different responsibilities than the commission. They're
okay.
elected. They're responsible for being available to constituents.
I see.
That's what elected officials do. So their roles are very different. They can meet with neighbors. They can meet with the applicants one-on-one before a meeting, certainly not as a quorum. So as elected officials, they have a very different set of responsibilities. What a council may do, and the commission can do this as well, in certain circumstances, there are very specific rules where if you vote on something, a body can vote to reconsider it. So if there is a... and there are very specific steps in how to do that and okay. who can ask for reconsideration. So council has done that recently and in the past where they voted on something and there was an ask to put it back on agenda and to reconsider it. And that's all laid out in approved processes that town has. So I hope
Thank
that
you.
Helps. Sure.
Yes. It really does, and I appreciate that. And thank you.
Alrighty, you're welcome. You're very welcome.
All right. So I don't see any other hands up. So let's move on to agenda item number 3, Ms. Ancona.
Discussion regarding general operating procedures and mechanics of a Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Spaeth?
Yes, thank you, Chair, members of the Commission. So for those of you, not including Commissioner Henderson, who may recall back in January, I think it was January, might have been December, brought up the idea for this agenda item to help brainstorm a discussion. Again, just like Mr. Vella had indicated, we want this to be very informal discussion. Nature perspective on giving us as staff some feedback in terms of the staff reports that we provide, the presentations that we provide, and whether or not anybody feels like things are lacking, things should be added, just anything under the sun. And we're really approaching this from a customer service perspective. You are our clients, essentially, customers. And so we want to make sure that we're giving you the best possible product that you can use to make informed decisions, as Ms. Gamble was kind of alluding to with one of her questions earlier. So Chair Gamble, I just respectfully ask to open it up to anybody who has any thoughts or inquiries on what we can do better, whether that's staff report related or presentations or anything, not just those two.
Okay, well, I'll just quickly start off then with what I had talked about before, just kind of having a history of the property's zoning, different zoning requirements that they've had throughout its lifespan, if that could be included in our packets, as well as if that could be brought up with the neighbors in neighborhood meetings before it comes to commission and have the neighbors weigh in on that. I think that would be a really helpful piece for us. And then Hal mentioned the financial impact, and I think I've talked to Beyer about this multiple times. I would love to have that included because that is important to me when I'm making a decision. You know, like I want to know what the financial impact is going to be. I don't think it's just, I think that's a huge piece of the pie when you're talking about a property and giving it new privileges is how is that going to financially benefit the town. So those are my two things. Which were brought up, so my microphone was off.
Can I just, Chair Gamble, would you mind, on the first one, can I just fed out a little bit more just so I'm more clear on understanding exactly where you're going with that? So not just the history on a particular zoning request, but also kind of the rationale behind
it. I want a timeline. Like, I think a timeline would be helpful, like, started off as Pima County with this zoning, you know, was moved into Oro Valley with this zoning, reapplied, got this zoning. Now it's asking for this zoning. Just like a timeline.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
It does. Yes, very much so. Thank you.
All right. So commissioners, if anybody has questions or things they would like to add, Commissioner Hong.
Yes,
there you go.
So added to the list of information as a background information that we would like to see. In the case of, I forget what that location was, it was on Ina, the hotel and the rest of the area that's being proposed to be incorporated. I did not know that it was actually Oro Valley Township approaching them to be annexed. I thought it was the other way around, that they wanted to be incorporated but it was more like we approaching them. So, I was keep asking, okay, so why don't you guys want to remain there? And, you know, have you thought about, you know, doing all these type of changes to your property? And what was their response? And it was just nothing like that. So, you know, if I had that background information as to, you know, why this application or how it came about, and what really was.
Commissioner Hong, I think we might need to table this question and then talk about it at our next meeting.
Okay.
That was a little bit too specific. And I know Joe Andrews would be looking, he'd be giving us the stink eye with this one. So if we can save this discussion for next. Sure. I think it is next week.
I have the answer already, so that's fine. It's a suggestion that we should have more information in the future.
So all right. Broadly, so think, just more background.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, so any other comments or questions? Commissioner Hong?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. So then I'll move on to Commissioner Bergsma. I saw your hand up next.
Thank you. So you mentioned financial impact, Chair Gamble. I'm not sure what you referred to when you meant that. I mean, I think it would be helpful, and it's hard to estimate financial impact. It's a pretty broad category. But for me, I think I'd like to at least have a good, better sense of what the revenue impact might be on the town and other jurisdictions that serve Oro Valley area, school district, fire district, the county itself and so on. But of course, the town, especially in terms of the kinds of revenues that proposed development might generate, I think that might be helpful to us. And I understand that's not always easy to estimate, but you know, a range would be helpful.
Yes, I agree. All right, Commissioner Posey, I think you raised your hand next. And then we'll come back to Commissioner Hahn.
Yes. Thank you, Chair Gamble. I just want to, what you were talking about, the physical impact, and you as well, Commissioner Bergsma, I also am very interested in that. And I'm talking about the tax revenue. Basically, that's what I was understanding that you were saying. But also, I feel like the staff has been very helpful in presenting that if need be, you know, which I usually factor that in on just about every decision, you know, trying to figure out the, you know, what the benefit to the town would be. So thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that was my line of thought too, is just the tax revenue, because that tax revenue goes to support a lot of other benefits that the town also, you know, that our community also wants. So I think, you know, that does play into the decision. All right, so Commissioner Hahn.
Sure. So again, going back to more information. So a bit more about, you know, how the application came about. And also a bit more information about the applicant themselves, if they are, you know, a corporation, or, you know, if they're located out of town, or versus, you know, local applicants, that sort of thing. Sometimes, you know, that helps us, or me personally, determining, you know, where this, or, you know, request is coming from, or, you know, where this might go, short and long term. That helps. I mean, I do have an example, but I'm not going to say that now. So, yeah. So it's interesting as to just looking at the request, but, you know, just looking more into who the applicant was and how this application came about, the background history, and if there's any past history as to, you know, if it had been a repeat application, if it was ever turned down, if so, why it was turned down back then, or who were the parties involved? You know, just interesting and helpful for me to decide.
Okay.
I'm not deciding anything, but thinking about. Thank you. That's it.
All right. Thanks, Commissioner Hahn. Was there anyone else that had a question? They want to raise their hand now. I think we're good. Mr. Spaeth, did you have anything else that you wanted to add before we move on?
Nope. Thank you very much for the feedback, Chair Gamble.
All right. Well, thank you guys. I know the town does such a great job, and I really do appreciate all of the work and effort that goes into the reports, and, you know, you guys always being so willing to answer all of our questions. So thank you guys for that. And then with that, we'll move on to agenda item number 4, Ms. Ancona.
Training on Zoom webinar format and features.
Great, thank you. So Mr. Spaeth, are you handling that one?
Yep, Chair Gamble, members of the commission, thank you again. So as Chair Gamble alluded to earlier, obviously I think you all have noticed we've got a little bit different format tonight. It's still Zoom, of course, but a little bit of some different nuances that we're using tonight. So now we have a webinar format rather than just a meeting format. Obviously, we'll look into the raise the hand function. Not quite sure why that wasn't working for everybody. I can raise my hand. Hopefully, everybody can see me there. Maybe I'm just special. I'm not sure. I got
extra. No, I can see you raising your hand.
Oh, Gina's raising her hand. So, yeah, I'm not sure.
I can only see you too. My hand is supposed to be raised. I've clicked the button.
I don't see it. So we'll obviously look into that to make sure that gets fixed. But I did want to kind of give a little bit of background on why this change is happening, and then can certainly answer any questions that anybody might have. So this is the format that council uses. And so we're doing our very best to try and be consistent across all boards and commissions throughout town. A couple of key factors for doing this and why council has switched over is it gives town staff a lot more control and kind of security over who can do what and who can't do what. So from, you know, running an efficient meeting and being as direct as possible, that is certainly a benefit from town staff side. But in the long run, and obviously we're all virtual now, so you probably wouldn't know this unless you've read it or heard it somewhere, but the town council chambers is actually being remodeled starting next week. And so part of that effort, when it's done and when this whole COVID thing comes to an end and we're all able to interact in person in the council chambers, is that council meetings, commission meetings, essentially anything being run in the new council chambers when it's done, will be able to obviously have in-person interaction, but it will also be broadcast on a webinar format, which is a huge change compared to what we've had in the past. Folks have been able to kind of listen in or watch, but not really interact in any way. So that's the plan moving forward. So this is kind of a precursor, getting everybody ready and geared up for when that happens. I don't have an ETA on when the construction on the council chambers is scheduled to be complete, but I think I saw that it's starting within the next week or so. So this is kind of getting everybody conditioned to be prepared to have that webinar up and running once it opens and we're all allowed back. So as far as your interaction on Zoom, it shouldn't be a whole lot different as Chair Gamble referenced from the outset of the meeting. But yeah, so I'm happy to answer any questions if anybody has any. Otherwise, thank you for your time.
All right. So if anybody has any, could they raise their physical hand? Well, I noticed Mr. Vella was able to raise his hand on the participant list. So the town staff seem to be able to get it to work, but the rest of us haven't. Commissioner Bergsma.
Yeah, I actually used this format yesterday on a webinar I was involved in, and I noticed looking at the list of participants that there are actually two lists now. There's the panelists, and we're on the panelists, and then there's the attendees.
Yep.
And when we have a public hearing or just a public meeting and people want to speak, are the attendees going to be able to raise their hands? Or how's that going to work?
Sure, Chair Gamble, Commissioner Bergsma. So yes, they will. So as you noted, there are two lists now. Panelists will essentially, for our purposes, will be the commission, and then it'll be myself, Joe Andrews, and Gina as the meeting coordinator and host. So everybody else will be attendees. And you'll notice that when you pull up the participants list, you see it broken down that way. So us as the hosts, when an attendee raises their hand, like let's just do an example here, Mr. Vella, if you're listening, would you mind raising your hand? There we go, thank you. So yes, yeah, so when he raises his hand and Chair Gamble, if it's the appropriate time and she directs us to go ahead and have Mr. Vella speak, then we can allow that individual to speak and then also similarly can ask if they'd like to have their video turned on. But until that happens, only the panelists have the majority of control. Host primarily, but panelists have a little bit more. And attendees are only seeing the panelists on the screen as opposed to everybody like you would in a normal Zoom meeting format. So again, that kind of goes back to the idea that, you know, the host and town staff have a better control over who can and can't do certain things. But yes, their functionality is certainly not being curbed in any way.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, do we have any other questions? I think we'll all just learn by doing, I guess then. all right, so that was the last item on our agenda. And with that, I think we can adjourn our meeting. Was there anything else, Mr. Spaeth?
Chair Gamble, I think that does it. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. All right, meeting adjourned. We'll see you all Tuesday.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.